This is Catherine Hastings, and you're listening to Ward Temple on KRCB 91.1 FM. The first part of tonight's program is going to be dedicated to Diane DePrima, San Francisco's current poet laureate. I'm going to start out by reading the biography that she has posted on her own website. Diane DePrima was born in Brooklyn, New York in 1934, a second-generation American of Italian descent. Her maternal grandfather, Domenico Melosi, was an active anarchist, an associate of Carlo Tresca and Emma Goldman. She began writing at the age of 7 and committed herself to a life as a poet at the age of 14. She lived and wrote in Manhattan for many years, where she became known as an important writer of the Beat movement. During that time, she co-founded the New York Poets Theater and founded the Poets Press, which published the work of many new writers of the period. Together with Amiri Baraka, Leroy Jones, she edited the literary newsletter, The Floating Bear, 1961 to 1969. In 1966, she moved to upstate New York, where she participated in Timothy Leary's psychedelic community at Millbrook. For the past 34 years, she has lived and worked in Northern California, where she took part in the political activities of the Diggers and wrote revolutionary letters. She also studied Zen and Tibetan Buddhism, Sanskrit and alchemy, and raised her 5 children. In the 1970s, she began her epic poem, Loba, of which parts 1 through 8 were published in 1978. From 1980 to 1987, she taught hermetic and esoteric traditions in poetry in a short-lived but significant Master's in Poetics program at New College of California, which she established together with poets Robert Duncan and David Meltzer. She has also taught at California College of Arts and Crafts and the San Francisco Art Institute. She was one of the co-founders of San Francisco Institute of Magical and Healing Arts, where she taught Western spiritual traditions from 1983 to 1992. She is the author of 43 books of poetry and prose, including Pieces of a Song, City Lights, 1990. Her work has been translated into at least 20 languages. She has received grants for her poetry from the National Endowment for the Arts. In 1993, she received an award for lifetime achievement in poetry from the National Poetry Association. In May and June 1994, she was Master Artist in Residence at the Atlantic Center for the Arts. In 1999, she was awarded an honorary Doctor of Literature degree from St. Lawrence University. In spring 2000, she was Master Poet in Residence at Columbus College, Chicago. In 2002, she was one of 3 finalists for the position of Poet Laureate of California. Loba Books 1 and 2, twice as much material as the 1978 Wingbow Press edition, was published in the Penguin Poets series in August 1998. Her autobiographical memoir, Recollections of My Life as a Woman, was published by Viking in April 2001. Recent poetry chapbooks include Towers Down with Clive Mattson, published by Eidolon Editions in 2002, The Ones I Used to Laugh With, Habenicht Press, San Francisco, 2003, and Time Bomb, Eidolon Editions, 2006. Diane lives and writes in San Francisco, where she teaches private classes and workshops and does individual consultations on writing and creativity. Diane DePrima has also worked as a photographer and collagist since the 1960s, and has been a watercolorist for the past 10 years. She has had 4 solo art shows, and her work in various genres has been in many group shows. One of her most popular workshops has been Word and Image, in which she teaches ways to combine the written word and the painted or photographic image. An expanded edition of Revolutionary Letters, with 23 new political poems from the past 2 decades, has recently been published by Last Gasp Press of San Francisco. Opening to the poem, a book of exercises and essays on poetics will soon be available from Penguin. Other works in progress include The Poetry Deal, poems from the 1980s and 90s, Death Poems for All Seasons, Alchemical Studies, poetry, Not Quite Buffalo Stew, a surreal novel about California life, The Mysteries of Vision, a book of essays on HD, and One, Two, Like Thee, a study of Shelley's use of traditional Western magic in his life and work. That's One, Two, Like Thee, T-O-O. In 2009, she was named the Poet Laureate of San Francisco, and in 2006 received the Fred Cody Award for Lifetime Achievement and Community Service. She has also been the recipient of numerous awards, including an honorary Doctor of Literature degree from St. Lawrence University in 1999 and a 1993 Lifetime Service Award from the National Poetry Association. She has received grants from the Lapis Foundation, the National Endowment in the Arts, the Committee on Poetry, and the Institute for Aesthetic Development. In 2000, she lived in Chicago for several months while serving for a semester at Columbia College as Master Poet in Residence. That is the biography as it appears on Diane DePrima's website. Her biography mentioned the book Revolutionary Letters, which has recently been republished and includes some new poems. For the next part of the program, I'm going to play a recording of Diane DePrima reading poems from this book. Here now is Diane DePrima.
April Fool Birthday Poem for Grandpa. Today is your birthday, and I have tried writing these things before. But now, in the gathering madness, I want to thank you for telling me what to expect, for pulling no punches back there in that scrubbed Bronx parlor. Thank you for honestly weeping in time to innumerable heartbreaking Italian operas, for pulling my hair when I pulled the leaves off the trees so I'd know how it feels. We are involved in it now, revolution up to our knees, and the tide is rising. I embrace strangers on the street, filled with their love and mine. The love you told us had to come or we die, told them all in that Bronx park, me listening in spring Bronx dusk, breathing stars. So glorious to me, your white hair, your height, your fierce blue eyes, rare among Italians. I stood a ways off looking up at you, my grandpa, people listened to. I stand a ways off listening as I pour out soup, young men with light in their faces at my table, talking love, talking revolution, which is love, spelled backwards. How you would love us all, would thunder your anarchist wisdom at us, would thunder Dante and Giordano Bruno, orderly men, bent to your ends. Well, I want you to know, we do it for you and your ilk, for Carlo Tresca, for Sacco and Vanzetti, without knowing it or thinking about it, as we do it for Aubrey Beardsley, Oscar Wilde, all streetlights shall be purple. Do it for Trotsky and Shelley and Big Dumb Kropotkin, Eisenstein's strike people, Jean Cocteau's ennui. We do it for the stars over the Bronx, that they may look on earth and not be ashamed. This section of the book is from the late 60s. Revolutionary Letter Number 1. I have just realized that the stakes are myself. I have no other ransom money, nothing to break or barter but my life. My spirit measured out in bits spread over the roulette table. I recoup what I can. Nothing else to shove under the nose of the maître de jeu. Nothing to thrust out the window, no white flag. This flesh all I have to offer, to make the play with. This immediate head, what it comes up with. My move, as we slither over this go-board, stepping always, we hope, between the lines. Number 36 from those days. Who is the we? Who is the they in this thing? Did we or they kill the Indians? Not me. My people brought here cheap labor to exploit a continent for them. Did we or they exploit it? Do you admit complicity? Say, we have to get out of Vietnam. We really should stop poisoning the water, etc. Look closer. Look again. Secede. Declare your independence. Don't accept a share of the guilt they want to lay on us. Man is innocent and beautiful and born to perfect bliss they envy. Heavy deeds make heavy hearts, and to them life is suffering. Stand clear. This is number 58. It's called Notes Toward an American History. Over and over we look for the picture in the cloth. Man standing idle and tall against horizon. Savage landscape. We stare, poverty-struck, at New England pewter in farmhouse window. We quote Adams, Jefferson, Hugh, map of the sacred meadow. This was the land we were promised, wasn't it? Is Fresno New Jerusalem? Where is Dallas? How would Olson, Pound, Tom Paine explain Petaluma? Over and over, Kirby Doyle, mad, tells tale of his grandfather walking out of the desert, his wife and two sons waiting in the wagon. He had the mule. And the boats to Gloucester, Newfoundland, and Greece the same. The wood carved in Alaska and New Guinea the same. Over and over we seek that savage man, sufficient and generous. We find Rockefeller, Nixon, sad letters of Jefferson mourning the ravaging of mound builders' land, requesting his daughter not to forget her French. Over and over seeking line and form, gold leaf as in Siena, outline as Blake, we sit on shifting ground at the edge of this ocean, as far from Europe as you can get, and watch the hills flicker like dream skin. Number 67. This was written probably a few years later in the early 70s sometime. Another Wyoming song. Silk sari is famine, prayer is famine, stone idol washed by sea wind, also famine. Song on crumbling streets is famine, moonstone necklace, sandalwood essence, perfect Buddha caves, all famine. Teddy bear in Macy's window, famine. Tobacco bursting from Virginia's soil, coal mines famine, oil field famine, new car famine, I got the toenail, boot sole, bootleg and wagon famine, cracked lips and all. Yesterday famine, tomorrow famine, iron wind breaking up the sandy ground like famine, like hunger to the heart. Got these, let's turn these stones to bread famine, burnt baby famine. Wish I knew. And you do too, how to avert, turn aside, African famine, Egyptian famine, Sioux famine, Navajo famine, Mesopotamian famine, Easter Island famine, Tahitian famine, Sumerian famine, Sonoran famine, Hindu famine, mountain famine, woodland famine, desert famine, tundra famine, Great Plains famine, Papago famine, Evanston famine, Chicago famine, Casper famine, Bozeman to Billings famine, Minneapolis famine, Nevada sagebrush famine, Little Italy famine, Harlem famine, Chinatown famine, Tibetan famine, Third World famine, Fourth Dimension famine, Fifth Estate famine, Hungry Ghost famine, Black Panther famine, Oakland famine, Omaha famine, Amazon famine, Machu Picchu famine, alcohol famine, opium famine, Bengali famine, Brooklyn famine. All the bellies is swollen, some from too much, some from too little. All like to burst. Only the crows, no famine. Hyenas not hungry. buzzards not hungry, jackal, coyote, eagle, filling up a feast before they die, like we die, on dying land.
You're listening to Diane DePrima reading from her book, Revolutionary Letters. Jack Foley joins her in the next poem.
Revolutionary Letter number 68 is called Life Chant, and it's usually done as a ritual. The audience does the litany part or the refrain part with me. Jack's going to join me. Revolutionary Letter number 68, Life Chant, has an epigram. May it come that all the radiances will be known as our own radiance, from the Tibetan Book of the Dead. Cacophony of small birds at dawn, may it continue. Sticky monkey flowers on bare brown hills, may it continue. Bitter taste of early miner's lettuce, may it continue. Music on city streets in the summer nights, may it continue. Kids laughing on roofs, on stoops, on the beach in the snow, may it continue. Triumphal shout of the newborn, may it continue. Deep silence of rainforests, may it continue. Fine austerity of jungle peoples, may it continue. Rolling of great whales in turquoise ocean, may it continue. Clumsy splash of pelican in smooth bays, may it continue. Astonished human eyeballs squinting through eons at astonished nebulae who squint back, may it continue. Clean snow on the mountain, may it continue. Fierce eyes, clear light of the aged, may it continue. Right of birth and of naming, may it continue. Right of instruction, may it continue. Right of passage, may it continue. Love in the morning, love in the noon sun, love in the evening among crickets, may it continue. Long tales by fire, by window, in fog, in dust, on dusk on the mesa, may it continue. Love in thick midnight, fierce joy of old ones loving, may it continue. The night music, may it continue. Grunt of mating hippo, giraffe, foreplay of snow leopards, screeching of cats on the backyard fence, may it continue. Without police, may it continue. Without prisons, may it continue. Without hospitals, death medicine, may it continue. Without madhouses, marriage, high schools that are prisons, may it continue. Without empire, may it continue. In sisterhood, may it continue. Through the wars to come, may it continue. In brotherhood, may it continue. Though the earth seem lost, may it continue. Through exile and silence, may it continue. With cunning and love, may it continue. As woman continues, may it continue. As breath continues, may it continue. As stars continue, may it continue. May the wind deal kindly with us. May the forest remember our names. May springs flow, rain fall again. May the land grow green. May it swallow our mistakes. We begin the work. May it continue. The great transmutation. May it continue. A new heaven and a new earth. May it continue. May it continue. The next revolutionary letter is called Rant. It was written in the mid-80s. And Rant. You cannot write a single line without a cosmology, a cosmogony laid out before all eyes. There is no part of yourself you can separate out, saying, this is memory, this is sensation. This is the work I care about, this is how I make a living. It is whole, it is a whole, it always was whole. You do not make it so. There is nothing to integrate. You are a presence. You are an appendage of the work stems from, hangs from, the heaven you create. Every man, every woman carries a firmament inside, and the stars in it are not the stars in the sky. Without imagination, there is no memory. Without imagination, there is no sensation. Without imagination, there is no will, desire. History is a living weapon in your hand, and you have imagined it. It is thus that you find out for yourself. History is the dream of what can be. It is the relation between things in a continuum of imagination. What you find out for yourself is what you select out of an infinite sea of possibility. No one can inhabit your world, yet it is not lonely. The ground of imagination is fearlessness. Discourse is videotape of a movie, of a shadow play. But the puppets are in your hand, your counters in a multidimensional chess, which is divination and strategy. The war that matters is the war against the imagination. All other wars are subsumed in it. The ultimate famine is the starvation of the imagination. It is death, to be sure, but the undead seek to inhabit someone else's world. The ultimate claustrophobia is the syllogism. The ultimate claustrophobia is it all adds up. Nothing adds up, and nothing stands in for anything else. The only war that matters is the war against the imagination. The only war that matters is the war against the imagination. The only war that matters is the war against the imagination. All other wars are subsumed in it. There is no way out of the spiritual battle. There's no way you can avoid taking sides. There is no way you cannot have a poetics, no matter what you do. Plumber, baker, teacher, you do it in the consciousness of making or not making your world. You have a poetics. You step into the world like a suit of ready-made clothes, or you etch in light. Your firmament spills into the shape of your room, the shape of the poem, of your body, of your loves. A woman's life, a man's life, is an allegory. Dig it. There's no way out of the spiritual battle. The war is the war against the imagination. You can't sign up as a conscientious objector. The war of the worlds hangs here, right now, in the balance. It is a war for this world, to keep it, a veil of soul-making. The taste in all our mouths is the taste of our power, and it is bitter as death. Bring yourself home to yourself. Enter the garden. The guy at the gate with the flaming sword is yourself. The war is the war for the human imagination, and no one can fight it but you, and no one can fight it for you. The imagination is not only holy, it is precise. It is not only fierce, it is practical. Men die every day for the lack of it. It is vast and elegant. Intellectus means light of the mind. It is not discourse. It is not even language. The inner sun, the polis, is constellated around the sun. The fire is central. Revolutionary Letter number 77. This was 1991, just before the Gulf War began. Awkward song on the eve of war. The center of my heart is Arab song. It is woven around my heartstrings. I cannot uproot it. It is the song of the beloved as other, the other as God. It is all about light, and we never stop singing it. The root of my brain, the actual stem and medulla, is the tree of life. It is the story we have all been telling, the story of the journey and return. It is all about light, and we never stop telling it. I cannot uproot this tree from the back of my head. I cannot tear this song out of my heart. I cannot allow the two to war in my cells. This is a prose poem, and it is didactic. It remembers the perfumes of Lebanon, lapis of Persia, the mountains, ziggurats, ladders of ascent, the hut in the field we entered as her body. The fabric of our seeing is dark and light. Ahriman, Ahura, the two lobes of the brain, or yin and yang. The paintings of Turkestan echo in caves of North China. The Manichee's eyes are carved in bone oracles. I cannot cut the light from my eyes or the woven shadow from the curves of my brain. The dance of the I Ching is the dance of the star tide, mathematics of the Zen Avesta, geometries of life. There is only one sun, and it is just rising. The golden icon of the Black Virgin stands at the stone gateway of Tashkent. The flowering valleys of Shambhala haunt our dreaming. What skeletons stalk there? Do you see? If even the plants send out warnings to each other, if even the brine shrimp mourn each other's passing, my eyes stare from 10,000 Arab faces. A deer sniffs at the stiffening corpse of her yearling. There is only one sun, and it is rising. It is much too strong in the desert of our minds. Shield us from the desert of greed, the desert of hate. Shield us from the desert of chauvinism, le désert désespéré, desperate desert of no song, no image. Shield us from the death, the desert of no return. That Arab song burst out of mountain cave, that fine work silver glisten in the sun. Loving, yes, loving woman and digging on each other, thousands of years digging the differences. That the gold-clad men and women, dark skins gleaming, stand at the stone gates, Shiprock, New Grange, Tashkent. Let the goddess walk again on the African plains, the Orisha brighten the air. There's only one sun, and it is rising. May the peaches of Samarkand bloom in the Okanagan. Reprise. There is nothing we have been that we will be. None of the myths suffices. Let us read each other's maps at the foot of the tree, where the stream of song moves out in all directions. Revolutionary Letter Number 81. On the Way Home. A Prayer for the Road. On the way home, all the restaurants will serve miso soup. On the way home, exotic notebook stores will blossom in small towns in Nevada. On the way home, Utah will be festooned with mirth. Mormons will be dancing in the streets in gauzy tchotchkes. On the way home, everyone will leave the casinos and the slot machines and go outside to stare at the beauty of the mountains, of the sky, of each other. On the way home, all the boys and girls in the secret desert bordellos will have set up temples of free love, festooned with mimosa. They will teach karma mudra to joyful redneck ranchers who will have set all their cows free and now drink only Amrita. On the way home, every cafe in Wyoming will be holding a potlatch. Poverty will thus be abolished. On the way home, everyone we meet will try to read us a poem, invite us in for a story, there being no news but what travelers bring, all the TVs having died. On the way home, it will be easy to find pure water, organic tomatoes, friendly conversation. We'll give and receive delightful music and blessings at every gas station, and all the gas will be free. On the way home, all the truck drivers will drive politely. The traveling summer tourists will beam at their kids. Our old Toyota will love going up mountain passes. Open-hearted and unsuspicious people and lizards prairie dogs, wolves, and magpies will sing together and picnic at sunset beside the road. Everyone will get where they're going. Everyone will be peaceful. Everyone will like it when they get there. All obstacles smoothed, auspiciousness and pleasure will sit like a raven dakini on every roof.
This is Catherine Hastings. You are listening to Word Temple on KRCB 91.1 FM. Let's return now to Diane DePrima.
Revolutionary Letter, number 84, February 14th, 2001. Someone put out a flag for Valentine's Day, as if the domain of the heart could belong to this heartbroken nation. Number 89, Independence Day, 2002. Bald eagle making a comeback. So am I. And the last of the new revolutionary letters in the book is number 93, Memorial Day, 2003, and it has a quote from Dear Abby as its epigram. Today is Memorial Day. Take time to remember those brave souls who gave their lives for freedom. Remember Sacco and Vanzetti. Remember Haymarket. Remember John Brown. Remember the slave revolts. Remember Malcolm. Remember Paracelsus. Remember Huey and little Bobby Hutton. Remember Crazy Horse and Chief Joseph. Remember the Modoc and the Algonquin Nation. Remember Patrice Lumumba. Remember the dream of Africa. Remember Tina Modotti. Remember Makhnov and Svetaeva. Mayakovsky. Yes, goddammit, even remember Trotsky. Hey, do you remember Hypatia? Socrates, Giordano Bruno. Remember my buddy, Esclarmonde de Foix. Remember Seton, the cosmopolite. Remember Edward Kelly, alchemist murdered in prison. Remember to take your life back into your hands. It's Memorial Day. Remember what you love and do it. Don't wait. Remember life hangs by a thread, anybody's life. And then remember the poets, Shelley and Bob Kaufman. Remember Van Gogh and Pollock. Remember Amelia Earhart. Remember it's not a safe time, and all the more reason to do wholeheartedly what you have to do. Remember the women and men of Wounded Knee, Kent State. Remember where you stand in the midst of empire, and the Huns are coming. Remember Vercingetorix, Max Jacob, Apollinaire, and Sohrawardi. Remember that all you need to remember is what you love. Remember to marry the world.
You've been listening to Diane DePrima reading from Revolutionary Letters. There is plenty of more poetry up ahead, but first, here is Shirley Horn on vocals and piano, performing Hit the Road Jack. This is from her album Light Out of Darkness, a tribute to Ray Charles.
Hit the road, Jack, and don't you come back no more, no more, no more, no more. Hit the road, Jack, and don't you come back no more.
What you say?
Hit the road, Jack, and don't you come back no more, no more, no more, no more. Hit the road, Jack, and don't you come back no more.
What you say?
Oh, geezer, don't treat me so mean. You're the meanest man that I've ever seen. I guess if you said so, I'd have to pack my bags and go. Hit the road, Jack, don't you come back no more, no more, no more, no more. Hit the road, Jack, don't you come back no more.
What you say? listen, baby, don't you treat me this way. I'll be back on my feet someday. Don't care if you do, cause it's understood. You ain't got no money, you just ain't no good. Hit the road, Jack, and don't you come back no more, no more, no more, no more. Hit the road, Jack, and don't you come back no more.
What you say?
Hit the road, Jack, and don't you come back no more, no more, no more, no more. Hit the road, Jack, and don't you come back no more. 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 And don't you come back no more.
This is Catherine Hastings. You're listening to Word Temple, and that was Shirley Horn singing Hit the Road, Jack. Now, of course, I did not mean Jack Foley, who provided the recording of Diane de Prima earlier in the show. Jack Foley recently wrote a poem called Cadillac Shoes, and the great Alabama poet, songwriter, and musician Jake Berry put it to music. So here you go. Here is The Man in the Cadillac Shoes.
My car's a Honda, my shoes are Cadillacs. My car's a Honda, my shoes are Cadillacs. I got protection if I step on any tag. My car's a Honda, it's comfy and it's new. My car's a Honda, it's comfy and it's new. All of my shoes that take me to Park Avenue. But never ask me, darling, my car, my shoes. because of you. Protection if I step on any tags. I got protection if I meet a battle axe. I got protection if I never pay my back tags. I got protection, mama, let me wear any color slacks. I stay in my car's a Honda, but my shoes, they are Cadillacs.
That was Jake Berry performing The Man in the Cadillac Shoes, lyrics by Jack Foley. Now, that little ditty is not available on CD at this point, but if you just have to have it, let me know and we'll see what we can do. Up next, more poetry. Author and poet Carl Sandburg was born in a three-room cottage in Illinois in 1878. Carl Sandburg worked from the time he was a young boy. He quit school following his graduation from eighth grade in 1891 and spent a decade working a variety of jobs. He delivered milk, harvested ice, laid bricks, threshed wheat in Kansas, and shined shoes in Galesburg's Union Hotel before traveling as a hobo in 1897. When the Spanish-American War broke out in 1898, Sandburg volunteered for service, and at the age of 20 was ordered to Puerto Rico, where he spent days battling only heat and mosquitoes. Upon his return to his hometown later that year, he entered Lombard College, supporting himself as a call fireman. Sandburg's college years shaped his literary talents and political views. While at Lombard, he joined the Poor Writers Club, an informal literary organization whose members met to read and criticize poetry. Poor Writers founder, Lombard professor Philip Green Wright, a talented scholar and political liberal, encouraged the talented young Sandburg. Sandburg honed his writing skills and adopted the socialist views of his mentor before leaving school in his senior year. He sold stereoscope views and wrote poetry for 2 years before his first book of verse, In Reckless Ecstasy, was printed on Wright's Basement Press in 1904. Wright printed two more volumes for Sandburg, Incidentals in 1907 and The Plaint of a Rose, 1908. As the first decade of the century wore on, Sandburg grew increasingly concerned with the plight of the American worker. In 1907, he worked as an organizer for the Wisconsin Social Democratic Party, writing and distributing political pamphlets and literature. At party headquarters in Milwaukee, he met Lillian Steichen, whom he married in 1908. The responsibilities of marriage and family prompted a career change. Sandburg returned to Illinois and took up journalism. For several years, he worked as a reporter for the Chicago Daily News, covering mostly labor issues and later writing his own feature. He was virtually unknown to the literary world when, in 1914, a group of his poems appeared in the nationally circulated Poetry magazine. 2 years later, his book Chicago Poems was published, and the 38-year-old author found himself on the brink of a career that would bring him international acclaim. He published another volume of poems, Cornhuskers, in 1918, and wrote a searching analysis of the 1919 Chicago race riots. More poetry followed, along with Rutabaga Stories in 1922, a book of fanciful children's tales. That prompted his publisher, Alfred Harcourt, to suggest a biography of Abraham Lincoln for children. Sandburg researched and wrote for 3 years, producing not a children's book, but a two-volume biography for adults. His Abraham Lincoln, The Prairie Years, published in 1926, was his first financial success. He moved to a new home on the Michigan Dunes and devoted the next several years to completing four additional volumes, Abraham Lincoln, The War Years, for which he won the Pulitzer Prize in 1940. Sandburg continued his prolific writing, publishing more poems, a novel, Remembrance Rock, a second volume of folk songs, and an autobiography, Always the Young Strangers. In 1945, the Sandburgs moved with their herd of prize-winning goats and thousands of books to Flat Rock, North Carolina. His complete poems won him a second Pulitzer Prize in 1951. Sandburg died at his North Carolina home on July 22, 1967. His ashes were returned, as he had requested, to his Galesburg birthplace. In the small Carl Sandburg Park, behind the house, his ashes were placed beneath Remembrance Rock, a red granite boulder. 10 years later, the ashes of his wife were also placed there. I'm going to be playing a recording now of some of his poems read by Carl Sandburg. This is obviously a very old recording. It's a little scratchy and poppy, but you will hear Carl Sandburg read his own work. Here now is Carl Sandburg.
Pile the bodies high at Austerlitz and Waterloo. Shovel them under and let me work. I am the grass. I cover all. And pile them high at Gettysburg. And pile them high at Ypres, Verdun, Stalingrad. Shovel them under and let me work. 2 years, 10 years, and passengers ask the conductor, what place is this? Where are we now? I am the grass. Let me work. Look out how you use proud words. When you let proud words go, it is not easy to call them back. They wear long boots, hard boots. They walk off proud. They can't hear you calling. Look out how you use proud words. Put the city up. Tear the city down. Put it up again. Let us find a city. Let us remember the little violet-eyed man who gave all praying. Dig and dream, dream and hammer. Till your city comes. Every day the people sleep and the city dies. Every day the people shake loose, awake, and build the city again. The city is a tool chest opened every day, a time clock punched every morning, a shop door, bunkers, and overalls counting every day. The city is a balloon and a bubble plaything, shot to the sky every evening, whistled in a ragtime jig down the sunset. The city is made, forgotten, and made again. Trucks hauling it away, haul it back, steered by drivers whistling ragtime against the sunsets. Every day the people get up and carry the city, carry the bunkers and balloons of the city, lift it and put it down. I will die as many times as you make me over again, says the city to the people. I am the woman, the home, the family. I get breakfast and pay the rent. I telephone the doctor, the milkman, the undertaker. I fix the streets for your first and your last ride. Come clean with me, come clean or dirty. I am stone and steel of your sleeping numbers. I remember all you forget, I will die as many times as you make me over again. It is wisdom to think the people are the city. It is wisdom to think the city would fall to pieces and die and be dust in the wind. If the people of the city all move away and leave no people at all to watch and keep the city. It is wisdom to think no city stood here at all until the working men, the laughing men, came. It is wisdom to think tomorrow new working men, new laughing men, may come and put up a new city. Living lighted skyscrapers and a night lingo of lanterns testify tomorrow shall have its own say-so. Nancy Hanks dreams by the fire, dreams and the logs sputter and the yellow tongues climb. Red lines lick their way in flickers. Oh, sputter logs, oh, dream, Nancy. Time now for a beautiful child. Time now for a tall man. Come. Huntington sleeps in a house 6 feet long. Huntington dreams of railroads he built and owned. Huntington dreams of 10,000 men saying, yes, sir. Blethery sleeps in a house 6 feet long. Blithery dreams of rails and tires he laid. Blithery dreams of saying to Huntington, yes, sir. Huntington, Blithery, sleep in houses 6 feet long. Lay me on an anvil, oh God. Beat me and hammer me into a crowbar. Let me pry loose old walls. Let me lift and loosen old foundations. Lay me on an anvil, O God. Beat me and hammer me into a steel spike. Drive me into the girders that hold a skyscraper together. Take red-hot rivets and fasten me into the central girders. Let me be the great nail holding a skyscraper through blue nights into white stars. The strong men keep coming on. They go down, shot, hanged, sick, broken. They live on fighting, singing, lucky as plungers. The strong mother's pulling them on. The strong mother's pulling them from a dark sea, a great prairie, a long mountain. Call hallelujah. Call amen. Call deep thanks. The strong men keep coming on. Bilbea, I was in Babylon on Saturday night. I saw nothing of you anywhere. I was at the old place, and the other girls were there. But no Bilbea. Have you gone to another house or city? Why don't you write? I was sorry. I walked home half sick. Tell me how it goes. Send me some kind of a letter. And take care of yourself. A father sees a son nearing manhood. What shall he tell that son? Life is hard. Be steel. Be a rock. And this might stand him for the storms and serve him for humdrum and monotony and guide him amid sudden betrayals and tighten him for slack moments. Life is a soft loam. Be gentle. Go easy. And this, too, might serve him. Brutes have been gentle where lashes failed. the growth of a frail flower in a path up has sometimes shattered and split a rock. A tough will counts. So does desire. So does a rich, soft wanting. Without rich wanting, nothing arrives. Tell him too much money has killed men and left them dead years before burial. The quest of lucre beyond a few easy needs has twisted good enough men sometimes into dry, thwarted worms. Tell him time as a stuff can be wasted. Tell him to be a fool every so often, and to have no shame over having been a fool, yet learning something out of every folly, hoping to repeat none of the cheap follies, thus arriving at intimate understanding of a world numbering many fools. Tell him to be alone often, and get at himself, and above all, tell himself no lies about himself, whatever the white lies and protective fronts he may use amongst other people. Tell him solitude is creative if he is strong, and the final decisions are made in silent rooms. Tell him to be different from other people if it comes natural and easy being different. Let him have lazy days seeking his deeper motives. Let him seek deep for where he is a born natural. Then he may understand Shakespeare and the Wright brothers, Pasteur, Pavlov, Michael Faraday, and free imaginations bringing changes into a world resenting change. He will be lonely enough to have time for the work he knows as his own.
This is Catherine Hastings, and you have been listening to Word Temple on KRCB 91.1 FM. My guests tonight were Diane DePrima, who started the show out by reading from her newly released book, Revolutionary Letters. This is a reprint with new poems included in the book. Thanks again to Jack Foley and Jake Berry for that great performance of The Man in the Cadillac Shoes. And finally, you heard Carl Sandburg reading the poems of Carl Sandburg. I hope you enjoyed tonight's program. If you have any questions or comments at all, please send me a note at khastings@wordtemple.com. Thanks for listening.